This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. We got myself, we got Isaac in the house, and we are, as we record this podcast, 2 days away from the NBA draft. There's been a lot of speculation, a lot of Twitter wars, and we are finally approaching the day. Because it's the season of rumors and smoke screens, Isaac, how you doing, man? You want to get into talking some of this, speculation specific to the Grizzlies right now?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, I'm a draft guy, so this is one of my favorite times of the year. But like you said, man, a lot of smoke out there, man. Try not to get choked on it. It's a lot of smoke, a lot of speculation. You don't know what's true. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out today, even with the number one pick. I think that's what's so unique about this draft and different that in years past is that we don't even know 100% what's going to happen with the number one pick. There's speculation that the Hawks could trade it. The guy that was widely projected to go number one, he hasn't even worked out for the Hawks. He's kind of, him and his camp are basically saying they don't want to go there. So it's just
I don't know. I mean, I've not followed the drafts closely over the years, but it seems very unprecedented to me that the number one projected pick, at least commonly been like a really possible guy, did not even work out for the team that has the number one pick.
Yeah, that's definitely not the norm. And to kind of talk about that a little bit, we could start off with that. The whole situation with the Hawks getting the number one pick is weird anyway. They're kind of in a weird spot. They won 35 games, so they're not the worst of the worst, obviously, but they're not good either. They're just kind of in a weird spot where they got some young guys, they got some mid-age vets on big contracts, and they're just, I honestly think they need to blow it up. You have Trae Young, you got Jontae Murray, they got to try to decide what they're going to do with those guys. There's been a lot of speculation that they can move those guys, but the thing about it is, the two guys that could go number one or projected kind of to go number one, Alexander Sarr and Zachary Richey. Even though I think it's crazy that they're even speculating not taking Sarr. I think if you have number one pick, you should take Sarr. But I don't think either one of those guys really do much for them right now. Like, I don't know. I just don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what direction they're going to do. I've talked to some Hawks people. Some, they're halfway in, halfway out. Some people think they need to blow it up. Some think they need to continue to the trajectory they're on and kind of add one of these guys and kind of go with that. I don't know. They're just kind of in a weird spot. But it's crazy to me that they're not thinking about taking Sarr. The reason why Sarr in his camp is kind of saying that they don't want to go to Atlanta is, and we've kind of heard this here with Jaren Jackson Jr., is Sarr doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to be a center. And they have Jaylen Jack Johnson in place there that plays the four. And he thinks if he goes to Atlanta, he's going to play center. And his camp have kind of said that they want to play the four. So they've worked out for Washington multiple times, and that's the destination that they said that they want to go to. So that's going to be interesting. But reports come out today that Atlanta said that they might take him anyway, which is new, because before today, they were basically saying that they weren't going to take him. It was Richey Klingon or they were going to trade it. Now they're saying that despite what he says and anything like that, they might take him anyway. And a lot of people also speculating that could be trying to drive trade value up for that number one pick, yeah, to think for Washington, because Washington's all in on it. Washington said that's their guy. So if Atlanta now says they will take him, Washington might think, okay, well, we got to trade up to one to get him. And I think that could be a smokescreen for that.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I call cap on that. I don't think they would just now be coming out that they would potentially take him anyway. I think that would have been a storyline before now. I don't buy it. But it makes sense for them in terms of the reasoning why you would try to play the leverage game, so to speak. But yeah, the Hawks are in a tough place. I mean, they were in the play-in just this past season. So yeah. Them jumping up in the lottery odds kind of threw the whole draft, to be honest. And I don't think this pick did them any favors. It doesn't. It forces them almost to make a move in one way or the other, where if they would have considered running it back, I don't know that they would have, but they did. Now, I don't think they can. Really, what this team needs, in my opinion, is just defense. They need a lot of defense. They need a lot of things, but they need defense more than anything else. They were 26th in defense last season, and I think they – I'm not going to say they need to blow everything up, because, quite frankly, I don't think this is the draft to blow everything up. We talked about it before in terms of franchise-changing players. This draft doesn't have that. You can get some valuable role players, and I think there's – worth in that, but I would not blow it all up on this draft, especially not knowing if you'll jump the lottery this much again. I don't think you can count on that if you're the Atlanta Hawks. So I would pick one, Murray or Young. If I'm them, I'd probably go Murray, to be honest. I think this team more successful with Murray. And they won more games, I think. It prevents them from having to go as far on the defensive side. I mean, he's not as good of a defender as he was with the Spurs, with the Hawks. Part of that has to do with, you know, the team around him.
Personnel, for sure.
Right. Maybe he took a step back, but I will give the caveat that he just didn't have the same team around him. But if I'm them, that's the move I'm making, man. If you're going to go with a guard, go with a guy with two-pack who was shown two-way potential. Trae Young, I think you will always have a tough time building the team around him. I think he'd be a great number two, but I'm not convinced he can be a number one.
Yeah, man, I've got so many conversations with Hawks fans, and they get pissed off, but I'll say it, and I've said it 100 times before, man. I don't think that you can win at a high level with Trae Young as your best player. I don't think the numbers look great. And I know people love numbers. They see these big score numbers, but you have to look at the efficiency. People call him a shooter, and his three-point percentage is not great. Like, he's not an official. Like, they're nice where he goes off, and he can carry a team when he gets hot. But overall, his efficiency is not good. He's such a liability on the defensive end. Again, man, but he still has high value. And he has high value probably than Murray. So if you're going to move him, I agree. I think they can get a better package for moving Trae Young and kind of set them up, kind of move forward. So I think I agree with you wholeheartedly. If I'm moving one of those guys, I definitely think Trae Young is the one. I know a lot of Hawks fans would disagree there, but I just don't think he's a winning player. I mean, we've seen guys like that in the past. He's taking it back a little bit. Carmelo Anthony was a guy like that. Put up big time numbers, man, could just go off on nights, but just could never get it done when it mattered. And I think kind of Trae Young is kind of in that same category, man. Guys that just put up big time numbers, but they don't contribute, those numbers don't contribute to winning the way they should, the way you think they would on paper. But yeah, so it's going to be interesting, man. But we're going to jump into some of these rumors with the Grizzlies. One major rumor, and Mark Stein is kind of reiterated this today in a report that he had, that the Grizzlies, that Houston has interest in Marcus Smart. Of course, Ime Udoka, former Boston coach, coached him in Boston. It's kind of interesting that they would have interest in Marcus Smart, because you kind of look at their roster, and they're absolutely loaded with shooting guard small forward. They have an overload already, so I don't necessarily know where he fits, but according to reports, they have big time interest in him. There's also reports that the Grizzlies do not want to move him, but there's a lot of reports that say they will move up to number three with Marcus Smart at number nine to possibly take Donovan Clingan. Houston would actually obviously have to send other players back in that deal. Jason Tate is probably a guy that you'd probably be looking at coming back. Cam Whitmore is another guy that a lot of Grizz fans have speculated when these rumors have come up. I don't think they're coming off Whitmore. If they did, I would be all in on that. I don't see them moving Whitmore right now. That would be awesome, though. I just don't see it happening. But that's interesting. I don't think you have to move up to three to get Clinkin. I'm probably the biggest Clinkin fan out there. If he knew the way that I'm going for Batman, he'd probably have me on payroll right now. But I don't think I don't think you have to move up to three to get him. I think There was some smoke when Atlanta was going to take him at one. I never really believed that. I think that was a smokescreen. If he gets past them, I really do think that, and I've always said this, that sweet spot is six with Charlotte. If he doesn't go in that top two, I think he's there at six. And I think if you want to move up to get him, I think making a trade there with Charlotte, I think you get him there at six. I don't think you have to jump all the way up to three. I'd be shocked if he went in the top three.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. I tend to lean that they're not going to move Marcus Smart, because that report came out before anything. I mean, Smart's been talked about a lot in terms of trades and different things, and it seems more Grizzlies like, just in terms of what I know about Zach Kleiman, kind of how they operate with things, how they tend to think about these things. I would say more often than not, they're probably not going to move him, but I don't know. I mean, this time of year is just so strange that it's hard to really know what's real and what's not. But I lean that smoke. That's my guess.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it doesn't even really make sense to me for Houston, again, because they're so loaded right. At the 2 and the 3. Like, I don't know where you're playing them. You got him and Dylan Brooks and Whitmore and Thompson, and I mean, they have so many guys kind of in that 2-3 position. Like, I don't know where Marcus Smart fits on that roster unless they're planning on doing something major, which there are talks that they could possibly be trying to make a move for Paul George. Mm-hmm. So I think that if they do that, I think they're going to have to flip their roster over a little bit if they're trying to make a move like that and go out and get him. So that would be interesting. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of the rumors that's out there for the Grizzlies, that they could possibly move up to 3. But again, I really don't think you have to move up to 3. I
agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think Detroit takes him at 5. I don't think San Antonio takes him at 4.
Well, I will give a potential caveat for I get the logic for the Spurs, but I tend to lean that they need a lot of other things more than a front court partner for for Wembanyama right now. I think they got some real other needs from a shooting perspective, just from a guard. Like, I think if I'm the Spurs, yeah, it'd be cool, but I'm not sure that's and really, if you're the Spurs anyway, I think you're looking for more of a ceiling raiser than Donovan McLean, that's considered to be more of a, you know, ready-made product. I'm not sure that's if I'm the Spurs, I'm not sure if that's the best choice for the team.
Yeah, I have we're gonna go through this in a little bit. One of my safest picks in the draft, one of my predictions at 4, who I have San Antonio taking. That's probably the pick that I'm most confident in out of any of them. Like, yeah. I believe this guy's a lock to go 4. I think they're going to go point guard to kind of get, because they need a table setter to kind of set that up. And then they also have that pick at 8, so they have a lot of flexibility to kind of do some different things. Mm-hmm. But that there was kind of a rumor that they could possibly trade 4 and 8 up to go number 1. I don't think I would do that in this draft at all. I don't think there's enough difference. I'd much rather have those 2 picks than even a number 1 pick. In this draft. But another rumor, and this was kind of more of, I guess, educated fan speculation, is Jalen Duren. There's a lot of smoke that Detroit is going to make a strong offer for Nick Claxton, and they're going to put a big offer on the table, one that they hope Brooklyn doesn't match. And if they do that, the Detroit might move Jalen Duren, which I would love, depending on the price. I think it makes a lot of sense as far as age-wise he fits the age-wise with your core, to be able to grow with that group. And you kind of look at what you need next to Jaren. The kind of the knock on Duren is defensively. He's not a great defender, but when you have a defensive player of the year and Jaren, the anchor of that defense, you have Marcus Smart, you have a team that's good defensively overall, I don't think that matters much. But one thing that he is a big-time rebounder, average close to 12 rebounds a game, and I think that's the kind of physicality that you need next to Jaren. I think it would allow Jaren to kind of, because even though he's not a good defender, he's physical. And he brings a physicality that they don't have down there. And I think playing next to Jaren, it would allow him to roam and go back to doing what he used to do. I think he'd be a great fit next to Jaren. I think that would be a tough front court, because anybody that allows Jaren to, and I think that's a lot of what you saw this year, his offensive numbers went up, but his defensive numbers went down because he wasn't allowed to kind of roam and be that help side defender and shot blocker that he was when you had Steven Adams next to him. So I think you're bringing in another guy that can do that, can rebound, that allows them not to have to worry about those type of things so much, I think makes his game better overall. So I think Jalen Duren would be a great fit. And he's very popular here, of course, played at the University of Memphis. So I think if they were to acquire Jalen Duren, man, he'd be a fan favorite right out the bat. But again, man, I would love the fit. It's just interesting. See what the cost would be, or if that's even a reality, because we'll see if they actually make that play for Nick Claxton. But that's just kind of some of the speculation that's out there.
it would do my heart good. It would do my soul good to see Jalen Durham in a Memphis Grizzlies uniform, especially for the upcoming year. I think that will be extremely exciting. You know, this is really just a forethought, but as I hear more and more about this CBA, I'm getting more and more concerned that we're not going to be able to re-sign Jaren. And so more than even the fit next to Jaren, I'm just trying to think of, you know, if they could not get Jaren, like what else would be their contingencies? And I think I still think he'd be a good fit. I really do. I think he'd maybe the defensive thing would be a problem. But I think I could live. I think in terms of what's more valued next to Ja and Dez, rebounding, we know, is a very important thing. We also know they just need some size. So I like that. Steel, it's amazing with Jaren, but without it, just because you mentioned the timeline, and he's got some room to grow too. I mean, the situation he's in isn't exactly winning. No, it's actually the literal opposite of winning where he's at right now. So, man, I'm here for it. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, if I had to bet money on that, I don't think it's really happening, because you need another move to happen for that move to happen. And I think one of those moves, I think one of the shoes would have dropped by now. Maybe, but I doubt it. But I got to keep hope alive, because that one's probably one of my favorite alternatives in terms of guys who you can pick up to make this big man rotation exist, first of all, and then improve it from what it was when it was supposed to be Steven Adams.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But yeah, obviously, I don't know if there are any other rumors going around. I know there's like a lot of Twitter wars going on more than anything right now. More of the same. But I'm trying to think of it if I came across anything else.
Yeah, I was going to say can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I was going to say there is one more. Dayron Sharpe from Brooklyn, backup center, is a guy that's kind of been rumored. They say Grizzlies kind of made a play for him at the deadline and didn't get it done. That kind of came back up today as a guy that they're possibly still interested in. He's a guy that probably, if you bring him in, you're probably going to have to bring in another guy. I don't think he's necessarily the answer, although you look at his numbers. I mean, he only averaged 15 minutes a game, and he averaged 7.7 rebounds and 2 assists in 15 minutes. I think he's a guy that just possibly needs to change the scenery. He's always been a guy that I've thought probably has another level that he'd get to. I think if he had to play more minutes, I think he could be possibly you could catch lightning in a bottle with him, and he could end up being a guy that could possibly start for you. Because, I mean, 7 rebounds in 15 minutes, that's not anything to sneeze at all. That's big-time production. Also, 2 assists, so he could pass it. Also, has shown a little bit of ability to step out and hit a three. So I wouldn't be mad at that at all, because that's a guy that you could probably get on the cheap. I don't think that's going to cost you a lot if you're making a move to get him. So if they could get him as part of rotation, maybe that you bringing him in, and maybe you draft another guy, a power forward or a center, and you kind of have him in rotation, I wouldn't mind that at all. I definitely think that's a piece. Because especially when you're – and you kind of just talked about it with this new CBA, this team needs to find guys that are productive at low cost. Like they don't – a lot of people talk about he's bringing in other high-dollar contracts. Like, you got guys that are talking about, I just don't see that. Like, when people talk about Jared Allen and people talk about John Collins, who makes $26 million, like, I just
want to pay him that much. I wouldn't even want to pay Collins that much.
I just can't see them taking on that kind of money with what they have coming up on the books and the way this new CBA is. I have a hard time seeing them taking on that kind of money. So, I think those kind of things are unrealistic. I know people hold out hope, and we'll see, but I have a hard time seeing them going that route. That's a lot of money to add to your books when you're already kind of strapped already. I mean, they're trying to cut salary a little bit at this point already. You're looking at, see what they're going to do with Luke Kennard and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I think De'Ron Sharp, I think if you can get him for cheap, I think I like that a lot. Because I think he's a guy that is probably the situation, a lot of fit and opportunity is a lot of the big time thing in the league. You know, a lot of times guys are just in situations where it's not the best for him. And again, he getting pretty good production in 15 minutes off the bench, man. You stress that out to 20 minutes a game, he's probably averaging 10 and 10. So you can bring in a guy like that on the cheap. I don't have any problem with that at all. So, let's transition into the draft itself. I've kind of put my predictions out here for the top 10 picks. And I expect there to be movement inside the top 10. So take this with a grain of salt, because these are kind of my thoughts if the draft stays chalk, which I don't believe it will. I actually think the Grizzlies, I would be surprised if the Grizzlies stuck at 9 and drafted a guy. I think either they're going to trade up or trade down or trade out. Like, I'd be shocked if they just stuck at 9 and drafted a guy at this point. But we've talked about this a little bit, man, starting off at the top. I have the Hawks, and this would not be the direction I would go. I think Alexander Sarr, if you look at ceiling, I think he probably has the highest ceiling in this draft. I'm not as big on his immediate impact as a lot of draft guys are, a lot of people are. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, especially on the offensive end, for him to kind of find his footing. Because, I mean, he's still a work in progress. He hadn't even been playing basketball that long, maybe about 3 or 4 years. So he's still learning. His offensive game is still evolving. Defensively, I think he'll be able to help you some year one, but I think offensively he's going to be hit or miss year one. But ceiling-wise, I think he has a higher ceiling. But according to reports, man, the Hawks are kind of locked in on Zachary Richardson, the 6'9", 195-pound wing out of France. I don't understand why he's projected as a top two pick. Like 6 or 7 months ago, like I actually had him as my number one player, but he had a slump about 2 or 3 months where he was terrible, just all the way around. He's supposed to be a shooter. He was only shooting like 30% from three, 29%, something like that. Really struggled. His wingspan came in a lot shorter. People thought he had a long wingspan. He actually has an even wingspan. And he just, I don't know. Like, I look at a lot of these other wing prospects, and I don't know how you look at him and think he's the best one. I think the biggest question mark on him is being able to get separation. He doesn't get a lot of separation, and he's not super explosive. Those are probably the two biggest knocks on him, and I think that kind of limits his ceiling, because you got to be able to create your own shot, and that's something that he's really struggled with. That's something that he's going to prove upon. And when you look at this Hawks roster, I don't know. I don't know. How that fits them. I really do think they need to go with Alexander Sarr, because they're going to move Capella. I don't think there's any question. I think even if they don't take Sarr, they're going to move Capella. I think that was something they were going to do anyway. I think they have more faith in Kongwu. He's younger, cheaper. And I think they've been wanting to, he's kind of been impeding on his territory for a couple years now. So I think they're going to go ahead and make that move. But again, man, I don't know. We talked about this at the top. It's just a weird spot, and I don't know if Ricochet really moves the needle at all for me anyway, and I definitely don't know if it moves the needle for me for the Hawks.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The Hawks are, like I said, and definitely in a tough situation. I think maybe in terms of why Ricochet is so high up, I know you mentioned that, you know, you kind of have it on a number one at one point in the year. I think it has more to do with just people are familiar with this game. He's been a prospect that was sort of in a class that has a lot of up and down movement. He had been considered to be at the top of a draft for longer than maybe some of the other prospects. Yeah. So maybe that has something to do with it in terms of why he's consistently just kind of stuck in that top three conversation, despite the fact that I think I agree with you, especially when it came out that he did not have the length that everybody thought it would. I mean, that's a big deal for me. Definitely. Looking at a prospect in the wing, drafting it that high, I that's a lot of deficiencies, I think, from a perspective. Not saying he doesn't have upside. He does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had that on top of him not being a big-time athlete, because he's not a big-time athlete either. So to have short arms and not being a big time athlete, I think that limits your potential. And you taking a guy number one, you want that ceiling to be high, even if he's raw. Because he's raw now, I think it's going to take him a while. I don't think he's going to be a guy that you're going to depend on a lot next year. You want that ceiling to be high, man. And I just think there's several guys that I think have a higher ceiling than him in his draft. So that's why it's interesting to me. But and it looks like those rumors today are true that they might take Sarr anyway. But if they don't trade the pick, it looks like he's going to be the guy.
Yeah. All right, so who you got for number two?
Alexander Sarr. I think the Wizards have said they're locked in on him, and I think they might have made a mistake by being so loud and getting on the bullhorn and saying that, because I think that's kind of one of the reasons why we're hearing the Hawks saying that they might take Sarr anyway, try to entice them to move up and one, to give up assets to get up to number one, because they – basically said that's the only guy they're looking at. Alexander Sarr, 7'1", 224 pounds, 7'4 wingspan. There's been a lot of conjecture on whether he's a power forward or a center. I've always said that he's a power forward. He has put on some weight. He was listed at about 210. He's weighed in at 224 at the combine, so he's already put on 14 pounds. But I still think it's in order for him to play center, he's going to put on a lot more muscle. I think he's very comparable to Jaren Jackson Jr. in his trajectory from when the Grizzlies drafted him, kind of what people are thinking about him now was he's a power forward and center. He's very similar. His game is even similar to Jared's before, what he does on the defensive end, his offensive game. They're very similar. I think Sarr is more aggressive in the paint than Jared is as far as back to the basket and doing things like that. But his offensive game is still a work in progress. But I think you getting him at number two, I think, is a steal. I don't know if Washington is a place where you would say Nesler is great for development, but he's going to get the opportunity. He's going to, because they're going to stick him in there as a starter, and he's going to get all the production that he wants, all the shots that he wants. So I can understand him wanting to go there, because he's definitely going to get a chance to be showcased, and he probably feels like Washington might be a better place for him to do that than Atlanta. And he also rumored that, like we said, that he wants to play power forward and not center. And his camp thinks with Jalen Johnson starting at the four with Atlanta that they would probably play him at the five. And right now he's saying that that's not what he wants to do. So I think Washington getting him at two, I think they're probably getting what should be the number one prospect in the draft. And I think that would be a big steal for them. Just the rest of their roster, I don't know, man. They gotta decide their direction. They still don't have a point guard, and I got a feeling that Tyus is going to be moving on. So they got a lot of questions up there in Washington. I still think their roster's a mess. Their front office has a lot of work to do to make that team viable. I don't think Sarr changes that again, because I think it's going to take a while for him, but it's a piece. I mean, you got to start off somewhere, man. And I think that's a great piece to start with.
I'm a little bit more optimistic. I do think that's the move that's ultimately going to happen. But I think it's better maybe than it appears on paper. Assuming Tyus Jones stays, I think that's some reliable point guard play that you can, you know, he's a floor general. I think he'll at least be put in good position to succeed and to score offensively, which is a big deal when you're still trying to figure out your offensive game. If you got a guy who can get you the ball in spots that may be advantageous for you, it kind of helps your development along the way. you still got Kuz over there? Is that right? Kuz still?
He's still there.
I just wanted to make sure that, I mean, he been in so many trade talks. I wanted to make sure he wasn't on an expiring contract or anything, just to make sure there. But I mean, you got talent there, so it's not a devoid of talent team. But they are devoid of defense, and I think if nothing else,
I guess Jordan Poole. If you want Jordan Poole, if you want to mention him,
I don't.
How you want to evaluate
I don't.
That?
I don't, man. I'm not going to get into the mystery that he is Jordan Poole right now. But I think he's probably best to stay as far away from Alexander Sarr as possible if you want Sarr to become anything. But I will say, I think that Sarr can help them defensively. I mean, they obviously need that badly. It just doesn't exist. I think that's probably one of their biggest flaws. So if he can help upgrade them in that way, he can make an immediate impact and gain some confidence so that he can start having more impact on the offensive side of the ball. Overall, I agree with you. I think that he is developmental, and I don't think he'll learn winning habits for sure with the Wizards. But I think there is some upside. There are some places that players go and you're like, this is a wasteland. You know what I mean? And I don't necessarily feel that way about Sarr, but there are some obvious downsides that it's the Wizards. So,
yeah, but like I said, I definitely think if you get him at two, I think that's a steal, because I'm sure going in, they didn't think they'd have any shot at the Hawks. Gonna do something dumb, man. I think he's the number one
prospect. Relative to the draft, I guess, to this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying it would do the prism of this draft. I think getting him at number two, he's a steal. But
yes, sir.
Moving on to number three at the Rockets, and this is what I believe would happen. It's not what I would do at all, because I'm not a fan of this prospect at all. A lot of people absolutely love him. Shout out to my guy, Sean Coleman. You part of Grizz Twitter, you're familiar with Sean. So he's one of the best stat guys out there. He's a big fan of this prospect, and it's Reed Sheppard, combo guard out of Kentucky, 6'3", 182 pounds, only measured 6'1", 6'1 and a half without shoes, came in smaller than a lot of people expected. Shot 52% from three. That's a ridiculous number. I think it's a little, when people talk about that as far as the shooting, I think it's a little, when you translate to the NBA level, the problem is I don't think he's going to be able to create his shot as much. And I think that's the biggest question on you shooting high. I mean, is he a guy that's going to take a lot of shots? We kind of have that same situation with Luke Kennard here at Memphis, is you can't get him to be aggressive enough. Like, you want him to shoot the basketball and he can knock him down, but he doesn't shoot him at the clip that you'd want him to. And I think that's going to be the question with Reed Sheppard. It's also kind of a weird fit to me because you start Jalen Green at 6'4". Reed Sheffer's only 6'2", 6'3". So that's going to make you really small in the backcourt. But from all reports and everything you see, man, it looks like he's a lock to go to Houston here at number three. I've had him there for a while as well. But I wouldn't even take him at nine. Like, I'm going to be honest. Usage-wise, I don't think his ceiling is just not high enough for him to go that high. He feels like a role player to me. I think in his absolute ceiling, he's T.J. McConnell. I think if he just breaks all the way out to go to the highest point that he can go to, I think that's the best that you can expect. And is that really what you want to take at number three? That's not to T.J. McConnell, because I love him. I think defensively, people talk about him being a good defender. And I think he's a good defender as far as getting in space and getting steals and getting in the passing lanes. But a one-on-one defender, I think he's going to have a problem in the NBA. I don't think he's going to be able to stay in front of a lot of guys. So a lot of the things that people say about him positively, I don't know if they're going to translate the way they think so. The shooting and the defense, I don't know if it translates. And again, man, he's just, to me, he seems like a role player, possibly even a guy that's going to be a guy that you bring off the bench, a 6'7 man type of player. And I don't want to take that guy in the top 10. But again, a lot of people love him. Maybe he ends up being north for that. But again, I say absolute ceiling is T.J. McConnell, and I don't want to take T.J. McConnell at number three.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm not putting too much stock in the whole he'll only be a role player thing, because I just think that applies to quite a few guys in this particular draft. Most of these guys, and even some of these lottery guys, I think it applies to. I mean, we're just talking about Zachary Richardson. So I'm not going to knock them too much on that, particularly, you know, if you are Houston and you're already kind of, you made moves to be in win now mode. So you are just sort of looking more so for role players, and that's what they're going to get. I agree with you in terms of your assessment of the player. I guess I don't see anything wrong with it at three if you're Houston. Now I would not want the Memphis Grizzlies, obviously. I mean, it's two different completely situations. But for the Rockets, I'm cool. I think I see the logic. I follow the logic, and I think you pretty much have to just go with what works for you and your team right now in this present state when it comes to looking at these guys. I think you just got to go with your gut, man. I'm not sure that you can go based off of value or much anything else, because everybody just views these guys so with such a vast lens that, yeah, if they chose to make that move and seems like that is where everybody's leaning, go for it. Good for them. But it doesn't, I don't think it moves needles, protect, like, it's not scaring me in terms of, I think the West is getting better either.
Because, I mean, I think I understand what your thoughts are, Joy, when you were saying relative to this draft. I just think they're better players for them. Like, his teammate, college teammate, Rob Dillingham, I think would be a better pick than him for the Rockets. I think what he brings to the table, and I think this next guy that I have San Antonio taking, which is Stephon Castle out of UConn, I think would be a better pick for them, especially when you look at the size. Like, I think Stephon Castle would be perfect for them because you're already starting Jalen Green, who's small at 6'4". Stephon Castle's 6'7", 210 pounds, man, end up measuring out a lot bigger than people expected. Like, I didn't think he measured 6'5 and a half in shoes, so that means in shoes he's about 6'7", 210 pounds, and with a 6'9 wingspan. And the thing about him is that I didn't really understand, which I don't think in the end is going to end up hurting his draft stock, it could have, was that he refused to work out for teams that had an established point guard. And I just think he was selling himself short. If you're 6'7", 210, man, you shouldn't be painting yourself in just a point guard box. He could play with anybody. He could play with one, two, or three in a small lineup, especially with that length. But I guess he wants to play exclusively on the ball as a point guard, but I don't think it's going to hurt his draft stock because I think San Antonio is going to take him at four. And that's a scary proposition. I mean, I think Stephon Castle, I think day one, he's going to be elite defense. The question with him is his jump shot. He has some questions with his offensive game. It's ever evolving. Did shoot the ball well at the combine, but has not known to be an offensive guy. But that length, that size, if he ever develops an offensive game, he could. You could look up a couple years down the line, and he could potentially be the best player out of this draft. I think ceiling-wise, he's definitely there in my top 4 or 5. It's just that offensive game. That's what you need to evolve. But you think about that length. You add him. You got Wimby. You got Sochan. Like, all these long guys. That, and you can kind of see what San Antonio's building, man. It's going to be a problem. I mean, they're going to put clamps on teams defensively in the future. And I think Stephon Castle definitely with that size at 6'7", their point guard position, when you're already a big team and you got that size with Wimby, I think it's going to be scary, man. San Antonio, I think, has something cooking, man. And they just need to add some pieces. And he makes a lot of sense again, because I just think length and defense is what they're going to do. And if he develops a jump shot, I think his lights out, man. He's going to be a major problem in his league. And Grizzlies got to deal with him, man. They're in our division, man. And there's something we have to deal with, man. But Wimby, we already saw what he can do, and he hasn't even scratched the surface yet. So that's scary stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you in a vacuum, but I feel like Spurs got to have somebody that could shoot, man. It's nice as the defensive upside and immediate impact defensively will come. And I'm not saying Spurs don't also, I mean, they need kind of everything except for Wimby around that team. But I get your point about the ceiling. I think they need somebody who can man, get some shots in. Like, I think that's one of their biggest flaws in terms of if you really want to help space out the floor for Wimby more, I think that's kind of the direction they would need to go. But I definitely get the pick.
Yeah, next up, the Detroit Pistons, which, man, poor Pistons. I mean, worst record in the league. Man, you drop all the way down to 5, man. That's absolutely brutal. I mean, just no help there. I mean, they've had bad luck with the draft seemingly all the time, man. They always seem to end up dropping. But I have them taking Matas Buzelis, 6'10", 197-pound wing, who is a really unique prospect. Super young, only 18 years old. So he probably still has some growing to do. He might end up being 7 foot before it's all said and done. And you're looking at a guy that's long, a better defender than you think. Did some good things defensively. You have to take kind of just things with a grain of salt with what you see with that G League at 19. That's why I'm kind of glad that they got rid of it, because it's just basically a glorified all-star team. There's no structure, no spacing. He was a big-time shooter. I followed him in high school, and with the Ignite, he only shot 26% from three, which I think is absolutely false. I think he's going to be a shooter in the NBA. That, again, if he goes to be 7 foot, you're talking about a guy that's 7 foot, 210, 220 pounds on a wing that can shoot threes. I mean, he's the prototype of a modern-day guy that you want in this league. And, again, he's super athletic. He'll go out and dunk on you. He's competitive. He super believes in himself. If you listen to his interviews, man, he believes he's the best player in the world. Sometimes that's had to battle. But, again, average 2 blocks, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. It's just a long, lean athlete who would, again, man, if that shot comes around the way I think it does, I think it's going to take him a little while. I think another question with him, and is it kind of a theme with these wings in this draft, is I think creating separation is going to be the biggest issue with him. But I just love the overall skill set. I mean, he's just a unique prospect at that size, a guy that could potentially be a shooter at possibly, again, he's 6'10", 6'11". Now, if he grows to be 7 foot, guy, you talking about playing a 7 foot guy on a wing, that's what you want in a modern-day NBA. So I'm a fan of his. I don't think he's going to be an immediate impact, and I don't think the Pistons, they're not close to winning anyway, so I don't think having an immediate impact guy is super important for them. But I like the pick there, man. I just like, overall, talent-wise, he's another guy that I think, if you look at their ceilings in his draft, he has one of the highest, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of that. I don't have too much to add, especially given the situation the Pistons are in. They pretty much need to just try to take somebody with high upside and keep them moving. So, yeah, I'm with you. Okay.
They need everything. There's no question about it.
It's really hard to be picky about analyzing that if you're the Pistons.
Yeah, number 6 with the Hornets. And this is kind of where I think we can start seeing some action. If there's no trade with the number 1 pick, if San Antonio doesn't trade up and get that number 1 pick, I think you could see the Hornets, this 6, 7, 8, 9 with the Grizzlies, and if Klingon is still on the board, I think you could see some movement there. 6 is kind of where I've said I feel like the Grizzlies could get to if they really want to get Clayton, because I think he's going to be there. But for this exercise, we just didn't like there are no trades. So at six, I have the Hawks taking Cody Williams, 6'8", 178-pound wing out of Colorado. He's another prospect. Him and Reed Shepard are kind of the two guys that I'm not really, really high on. Our former co-host David Williams, he's a big fan of Cody Williams. One thing for me is if I'm not a fan of taking guys that you haven't seen it with. I feel like Cody Williams kind of similar to the same way I felt about Zaire Williams when they took him, because he wasn't even starting for Colorado in the tournament. Like, he didn't even start. He came out the bench. I think a lot of his numbers are in small sample size. Like, he shot 41% from three, but I was looking at his totals. He only hit, like, I don't know, it was a very small amount. Like, I can't remember what that number is. I don't have it in front of me right now, but the sample size is super small. He was a low usage guy. I see what people see. I mean, you see the measurables at 6'8", 7'1", wingspan. His brother, he got the bloodline with his brother at Oklahoma City. He's raw, and he's one of those guys that I feel like, just like with Zaire Williams, 2 or 3 years down the line, you could still be saying, what if? Like, if he could ever put it all together, he would be this. And that's just, I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of leery of those type of guys now that we've taken Zaire. He's probably farther along than Zaire. Like, you have seen more from him than Zaire, more tangible results, but still you haven't, you're still doing a lot of hoping with him. Like, you haven't seen enough concrete of it, consistency of it, to know, okay, yeah, this is what he's going to be. I think he's a prospect that you're going to send down to the G League. I don't think he's going to be a guy that you could plug in next year. He's going to do much for you. 19 years old. Like I said, the measurables are there. 6'7", 6'8", 7'1", wingspan. You definitely like that. But he's a guy that's definitely mostly about potential. You're hoping that he turns into what you think. And, I mean, a lot of teams, I mean, that's what you're going for with a lot of teams. But the Grizzlies, that's not what I want. They actually have worked him out. Like, it's been confirmed that he has been here. Talked to some people, saw him at the airport. So he has been in for a workout. I'm hoping that's not the way they go. And my teams have a bad tendency of taking the one guy that I don't want them to take. That's the same thing happened with Zaire. I was like, me and David both said, like, as long as they don't take Zaire Williams, I can stomach anything else. And that's exactly what they did. Same thing with the Cowboys this year. I was like, don't take Tyler Guyton in the first round. And they said, out of all the guys that they could take, that's who they end up taking. So I have a bad track record there. So hopefully he's off the board. I think he probably will be. But I have the Hornets taking him at six. I think you add him with Brandon Miller to have those kind of two wing guys to possibly in the future create kind of a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum type of thing. I think that's what you could be looking at there. They have some pieces, man, in place, man. Brandon Miller, I think, is going to be a big-time player in this league. Yeah. I think they need a point guard, not really any great point guards for them to take here. So I got them taking Cody Williams. I got them going with the upside, but we'll see what happens. But that's six is really where I think the draft becomes a question, because I wasn't super solid on who they would take there. That's just kind of a guy that they said he's moved up. He was projected to go middle lottery. Now they're saying he's jumped up in top six, seven, eight. So that's just a guy I think they're going to take upside there. And that's just kind of my prediction, but I think there's a lot of different ways they could go there.
Makes sense that David would root for Cody Williams because he still believes that Zaire can turn into something. He's still waiting at the corner. Man. He's still waiting at the corner on Zaire Street trying to wait on my guy to pull up.
Yeah, everybody said he ain't giving up on him yet. And Zaire got a fan in him.
Yeah, I can definitely 100% see why you go for Cody Williams. But yeah, I'm with you. This is a draft. I think if you're in the lottery in this draft, that it's worth going to the other side, particularly if you are the Charlotte Hornets. They need some offense. They need some something. They need a couple things to go right for them. I think Brandon Miller was a step in the right direction. I agree with you, but I mean.
Yeah, they just need talent. Like, go just overall,
they need dudes, man. And LaMelo's injured so much. I think he's got talent, but you in terms of consistency and being available, he's not really there. So, yeah, you take what you can get. It makes a lot of sense for them as a pick. Number seven, I'm curious to see what you got going for the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, man, this is interesting because you look at their roster and it really doesn't make a lot of sense. But from the jump. This has kind of been a lot of smoke here, but a lot of people, Dominic Klingon is a guy that they said to really like. I think they've had him in for a workout two or three times. And he's been mocked there consistently. But you have DeAndre Ayton, who, and you also have Time Lord. I know you can't depend on him, but he's still on the roster. So I think if they take Klingon, that they're probably going to move off Ayton. I think that would probably be the route they go. So I think it probably would make a lot more sense then. Doesn't make a lot of sense now, but I mean, they've said to love him the whole draft season, that he's kind of been connected to Portland if he's still on the board. So I haven't taken him there, even though I think if he gets in this area, I got a feeling the Grizzlies make a move. Like I'm talking about moving up to six with Charlotte, because Charlotte is just, and we kind of talked about like a team that just needs players. So them moving from six to nine is not really, if they can get an asset, I'm sure they'd probably rather do that, because it's not really that much of a difference. I mean, they might be able to go down to nine and get Ron Hollett, who was another wing prospect, to do just as well, and then pick up another asset. So I don't think – I think they'll be open for business. If the Grizzlies – if Klingon is there at six, I think the Grizzlies can make a move to go up and get him. I think Charlotte will definitely be willing to listen. But that's in a chalk world. I got them taking – Blazers taking Donovan Klingon there. But, again, it doesn't make a lot of sense with Ayton and Robert Williams on the roster. But I think if they do take him there, I think they'll probably make some moves.
You mentioned the movement for the Charlotte Hornets, and I think you make a great point about just where they are and how they are open for business. Have you thought about what that trade conversation would look like if the Grizzlies were to move up from 9 to 6?
Oh, I think obviously the ninth pick would be involved. I don't know. I don't know if they'd be interested if you do something with Luke Kennard, because that's. I'm almost 100% that Luke Kennard's not on this roster when the season started. Any trade they make, when you look at contract-wise, it's Luke Kennard and Marcus Smart. And as they, you saw reports that said, they have said that they're not interested in moving Marcus Smart. So I think any semi-significant trade they make, Luke Kennard is probably involved. Now, I haven't really looked at their roster to see what trash they'd want to send you back, because that's definitely what it would be. You'd have to take on some just guys that they don't want.
I don't think it has to be a player, right?
But I mean, if they're not going to trade nine for six straight up, so you have to give them something else.
You could give them future picks.
Yeah, you could give them future picks. So that's a route they could go. But I do think they move Luke Kennard in some capacity, even if it's not in a draft trade. I think in some move this summer they end up moving Luke Kennard, but. Donovan Klingon, I'm a big fan of his. Anybody that follows me knows what I think about him. So I think he's a fit pretty much anywhere. I think DeAndre Ayton, you just kind of look at the situation. I mean, when he first got there, was missing practice because he said his mattress was uncomfortable. Missed the game because he said he couldn't get out of his driveway because it was
ice. Stuck on a hill.
he been playing in Phoenix. He ain't used to seeing no ice. And he's from the Bahamas and all this. So, yeah, man, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get him out. And he, one thing about him, man, he pisses me off because he has all the skills, all the talent in the world, man. It's just between the ears, it's just mental. It's just mental, man. If he could put it together, man, I just think he's a waste of talent, because he could be one of the best bigs in this league if he could just get it together mentally, man. He just doesn't have that mentality, man. I don't think he's a weird dude. So if they do take Donovan Klingon, I could see them moving in. But moving on to number eight with the Spurs.
Well, real quick.
Go ahead.
If they do move Luke, I'm not big on the moving really anybody. I think if they're going to fix the holes that they created in this roster, they need to do the free agency, because I don't think you create holes and then have to give up other valuable assets just to fill in those holes. I think that's a poor process. I don't agree with the process of that. But even if they were going to do that, I think the worst thing they could do is trade Luke for one of these rookies here. I just think that if you're going to trade Luke, man, get somebody that you know that's a known quantity that can really help you right now. Some people disagree with that. Some people are just super high on the value of some of these rookies in here, man. But I'm just team, get some experience in here. We've seen what inexperience looks like at different levels. And I'm out on the whole concept of replace some of these, you know, vet guys. I get it's cheaper, but I also think that there's not that much more time you have given the CBA to really go for it. So you're either going to go for it or you're going to have do it. And it, to me, I would hate to see that. I would hate to see Luke traded in this draft without a without an accompanying vet or anything coming back this way. Because honestly, I think, I know some people disagree, but I think Luke is in the elite level shooter that he is more valuable than what any of these guys can get you next year.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I just think they're going to make some kind of trade. And if they do, I just think he is the piece, unless they're going to move smart.
Draft, man. I can live with it, with a vet.
Yeah, because contract-wise, it's just there's nobody else that's going to make any sense. The other guys are all filler because they're not going to move in the major guys. Like, we ain't trading Ja, Bane, or Jaren right now. So it's kind of Luke and Marcus Smart. And they said they're not going to move Smart. But I get you. Like you said, you don't want to move him in the draft. But I do think he ends up getting moved to see where they're going to pick up his. I mean, they pick up his option. They have to do that first. So we'll see what happens there. But the next big man, San Antonio Spurs, you know, over the years, they've definitely gone to the well of the Europeans. And I think they do this again with European wing Tijon Suhlon, 6'10", 217 pounds. Doesn't address the shooting. Like you said, I know they need shooting. I think they have money, and I think they're going to do some free agency stuff, probably do some trades as well. So I think they'll address that there. But I think they go with a wing here. And go back to our conversation about Richey. Like, Richey going number one, there's not a lot of difference to me between these two prospects. They're actually very similar size. They have kind of the very same kind of shortcomings. Like, Suhlon also kind of struggles to get separation. He's more athletic. Richey is probably more farther along as a prospect. Suhlon is more of a prospect, project than even Richey is. So I think it's going to be a while with him. But, man, great size at 6'10", 217 pounds. I think he's a little bit more of a better defender than Zachary Richey, but he's raw. He's another guy that's going to take some time. But San Antonio, man, Pop, they love those European guys. And his athletic profile is really nice. The length is there. I think he has an opportunity. He has a high ceiling, but he also has a low floor. So you don't really know what you're getting. He's another guy that you're hoping turns into what you want him to turn into. But man, he's a ball of clay. I mean, all the measurables, the intangibles, all those things are there. He just has to grow into it. But I think they take him here again because they love the European prospects. I think he's too tempting of a prospect when you're a team that likes Europeans to pass over right there.
All right. So, for the Grizz, with the number nine overall pick, you have
And again, I don't think they're going to be sit at nine, like I said. I think they're going to move up, down, out, something. I think they're going to move this pick. But if it stays chalk, I had them taking Dalton Kornet, wing out of Tennessee, 6'7", 212 pounds. And I think if they do that, I think that definitely solidifies the fact that Luke Kennard is going to be moved because he's the guy that can come in and replace him. I think, excuse me, even though he's an older prospect, which I think makes a lot of sense for the Grizzlies because he's probably the oldest prospect in his draft. excuse me. He can come in, I think, and be a rotation player right away. And despite being older, he's still in my top five or six guys as far as ceiling in this draft. A lot of people like to paint him as just a shooter, but he's a lot more than that. He's a scorer. He's a three-level scorer. And I think if he reaches his ceiling, he could be the way that he can get his own shot. He's strong. He can bully smaller guards, get to the basket, three-level scorer, like I said. If he reaches his ceiling, I think he could be a borderline all-star type of player. I really do believe that with his scoring ability, he could be kind of that Desmond Bain type guy who, if a year breaks right and you have some guys that you could sneak into an all-star game, I think he could be that level player, young Gordon Hayward type of guy that could really come in, score the basketball. It'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies work there because a lot of people, I haven't been a big proponent of them taking another wing or a smaller guard because the need for the front court is just so big. But I just think once they drop to nine, I kind of changed my mentality on that. I think just best player available. And I'm a big, big fan of Dalton Kornet, even on this roster. I think you could have a situation down the line where you're looking at the wings on your roster and maybe you need to move one out. But that's a good problem to have. I mean, if he brings trade value, you can bring something in better that helps the roster down the line. If that's what you need to do if it doesn't fit and you can't figure out how to make it work down the line. But I'm a big fan of his. And again, I think at nine, I think if he's there, his ceiling and what I think he can bring offensively, I think the way he can shoot the basketball, again, I think this team can always use more shooting. I mean, he is a lethal shooter. I don't think there's any question. He's aggressive. One thing that we've said about Luke Kennard is a lot of times he's not aggressive. I don't think you got to worry about that with Dalton Kornet. He's going to get his shots up. So he's a fan of definitely famous around here. You have a lot of Tennessee fans here in the market. So I think a lot of people will be happy if that ends up being the pick. But I'm a big fan of his. And again, if all break, they don't trade up, they stay there, and he's on the board, I wouldn't be mad if they took him there.
Okay. In a vacuum, I agree with you. I just hate the prospect of banking on rookies, man. It makes my stomach sick. I don't know if I can sit through it again. It's just a critical.
Man, they just got to make the right picks, man. They just blew those picks. And it was obvious to me. Like I said it on draft night when they took Zaire. I was like, it's a mistake when they traded two first to get Laravia and then traded back in and get Roddy. I'm like, man, they're just blowing this. Like, and they came to fruition. They just got to make the right picks. Like, I agree with you, man.
PTSD
around here for rookies, man.
They had to hit on Zaire. They would have had to hit
him. Like, you took a top 10 pick, man. Especially
screwed up because you missed on everything. Like, everything that was in terms of your first round, man, you missed on Roddy, you missed on Arabia, you missed on Zaire. Zaire was a particularly high pick.
You can't miss it. When you've been drafted inside the top 10, you got to make the right pick, man. That's brutal, especially at that time when they were struggling. I mean, you need to make that right pick, and I think that really those three moves right there, I think really set them back because they were on a trajectory to really coming out of that Golden State series. I really felt like they were on ready to win a title, like and that's something that you don't see with a team that young that early. Yeah. I think that offseason that they made those two moves with Laravia and Roddy, that they had an opportunity to put themselves in a position to really win a title their next year, man. And they just blew it. Like, I don't even know what to say, man.
Underrated aspect is the Lakers screwing us over.
Yeah, that
always too, there in the background.
This is PTSD again, man, for bringing that back up. But, yeah.
Well, question, man, though. So your point about having the hit in the top 10 and the importance of that, particularly for that Zaire pick, does that opinion still stand as strong in relation to this draft?
Oh, well, they're kind of in a different place now since the team is, I think, more established. You have more established roles. I don't think it's necessarily pertinent that the player that you take is an instant success, because I think they need to make more moves anyway. I think they got to bring in some veteran guys somewhere. Like, I don't think they can depend on just rookies. I think this offseason they got to make some trades in free agency, bring in at least a couple guys that you know what they can bring. Like, they're in too important of a spot to draft a guy and say, okay, yeah, we're putting all our eggs in this basket. This guy has to work out to kind of take us to over that hump. I don't think that's kind of mentality. If you find that guy, great, but I don't think you have to view it that way. I think they still, even outside of this draft, if they don't use the draft as a vehicle to bring in that veteran guy, I think they're going to do it in other ways this offseason. I think they have to, because this team has holes that they got to fill, that you're not going to be that championship contending team unless you fill those holes. And like you said, taking a rookie, you can't guarantee anything with that. Like, even I'm a Donovan Clingan guy, as big as it gets. And I don't even view him as a guy that's going to start day one. Like, I don't think you're going to – if they draft Donovan Clingan, I think Jaren is going to be your opening night five. Like, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think that's the direction they need to go. I think Zach Kleiman, that's the direction he wants to go. If you listen to anything he said, I think that five out, Jaren at the five, is kind of what he wants. When you listen to Taylor Jenkins and Brandon Clark, that was kind of outspoken on that, and obviously Jaren himself, I don't think that's what they want. So that's kind of an interesting tug of war to see who wins out in that. But I don't really think anybody in this draft should be a starter on this team if they're really serious about contending. Like, I don't want to see a rookie in the starting lineup. That's something that I really don't want to see, even if it's Donovan Clingan. That's not what I want to see, because I think if you're doing that, you're not – this ain't gonna be the year that you need it to be, so to speak.
All right, cool. I'm glad we agree. All right, so finally, we're going to do the top 10 picks, lottery picks. So for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, man, I think they're going to take Nikola Topic, the guy who was projected to go number one at one point for a long time, and definitely even after the end, top three or four. But he's had kind of reoccurring knee injuries. Also tested, people thought he had this big plus wingspan. He actually had like a even to negative wingspan. I mean, I think that hurt his spot as well. So he's recovering from a knee injury, and I think he's going to be a dropper. But to get him at 10, I think with his potential, I think it's going to be could be a steal for the Jazz. I think he has some of the highest upside as far as a passer, as far as a playmaker. Doesn't do a lot shooting right now. I think he shot about 31% from three, but he's that European, just the epitome of that European tall point guard that can really pass, can see over the defenses, make great passes. He's kind of has some a little Harlem Globetrotter in him, can make some of these crazy passes behind the back, stuff like that. And he's not tall. Like I said, at 6'7", he's another guy just like Stephon Castle. You talk about 6'7" point guards can be really plus for you. He's not a great defender, but because of that size, he's hard to shoot over. He can get in passing lanes, get some steals. He's a guy that I think that has a lot of potential. And if you look at that potential in this draft, again, that's one thing, because this draft doesn't have the superstar franchise type players in it. So if you can get guys with high upside, I think that's what you want to do. And I think his is among the highest. And to get him at 10, you're possibly getting lighted in a bottle with him. And they definitely need a point guard. I mean, they've been kind of going with Colin Sexton and kind of rotating guys in and out. But I think they need a real answer for him. I'm not sure. I think the injury wasn't as bad as they expected it to be. So he might be ready for camp. But again, he's a guy that I think a couple of years down the line, man, I think you can look back and get him at 10 pick and be an absolute steal. Because again, for a long time, he's projected going number one or number two in this draft. And it's only because of the knee stuff and the measurables that when he got measured is what's kind of dropped his stock. But I think he could be a steal.
I think it's a great pick. And I think it's a really good fit. I completely agree with everything you said. So I think that'd be great for them. One of the better moves that they can make for sure in this upcoming draft. So with that said, I did a pretty much similar thing. Went through, sort of did my predictions, but I'm more basing it for me more so on if I'm this team, this is the move I make. Well, No, I'm just kidding. Because about the Atlanta Hawks, for the most part, I try to go with if I'm this team, this is what I'm doing.
But yeah, the Hawks, was kinda, mine was kind of based. I was going to say mine, because mine was kind of based more on just intel and what you're hearing, what you think teams might do. So, yeah, because right. that's definitely not how I would play it out. Now, Nikola Topic at 10, that definitely, I think that's a great pick, like you said. Yeah. If Grizzlies, if they're not trading up for Klingon and they're not trading down and they're going to stay at 9, I think Khalil Ware, if they're going to trade down, is a guy that I would definitely be interested in, center out of Indiana. I think you're a fan of his as well. I think I saw you say that. At 9, I think Dalton Connect is a guy that I would take there, but a lot of these are more based on kind of what I'm hearing, like Reed Shepard at 3. There's no way I would do that if I was the Rockets, but it appears that's the way they're going to go. So,
yeah. So I'll go with sort of GM hat, if you will, but minus Atlanta, seriously, because so I got the same thing as you, Zachary, which you said, just because for that one, that's sort of what the consensus is. I'm not sure it's good for them anyway, so I'm not going to pretend like I would have to know what they're going to do in terms of the rest of that roster before I can make a decision in terms of the direction for the draft. It probably would have been smart for them to do that too, but that's none of my business. I say Grizzly side. So with the number 2 pick, I too have the Washington Wizards going with Alexander Sarr. I think, like you said, that's a great pick for them. Number 3, I have the Rockets going with Stephon Castle. So I know you said that too.
That would be a better. I agree with that. That's what they should do. That would be definitely a better pick. Well, fits great next to Jalen Green, because you talk about 6'4", and you add a 6'7" point guard. That's what they need. They don't need to be getting smaller in the backcourt. So I agree with your assessment. That's what they should do. I don't think it's what they will, but yeah, I agree.
And I like that he can learn behind Fred VanVleet. Slow play him along. You don't have to force him, because they do have veterans now with their team. You don't have to force him into the lineup. Sort of let the game come to him. And I do think his upside is high for a team that's already in win-now spot. I think that's probably one of the better picks that you can get if you're a number 3 right there, if you're Houston. San Antonio Spurs, with that being said, I had them going with Reed Shepard because of the shooting, and you know, me mentioning earlier that they need some dudes who could knock down some doggone shots. They need that bad. And I think Reed Shepard, despite his questions, can probably help you do that. Now, does he need Trey Jones to help spoon feed him some of those shots? Probably, but if there's a guy that can do it, assuming they don't upgrade that point guard position, you know, at some point in the offseason, I think Trey Jones can do that enough.
I was gonna say one thing about Reed Shepard. Another thing is, I think he's really a 2.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And that's another problem with his size, the way he came in, his measurables. He can play point guard, but I think he's definitely more natural at the 2, and that's really small. That's kind of another knock. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. No, that's a good point. It is a good point, for sure. I think you can afford to not play up size as much if you already have Victor Wembanyama.
But you got Wembanyama, yeah. That's
if you got Wembanyama, you sort of an advantage size wise, no matter what you do. If you add on to that, great. But I don't think you have to consider size as much. That's why I think it would probably be a pretty good fit. Given the players available on my board. So for the number five pick, Detroit Pistons, I have them going with Dalton Knecht. Am I saying that right? I knew I was gonna mess that up when I said it. but now I know he is a more polished player, but I do think I agree with you. I see a little bit more upside than maybe other people do with him. But they need somebody that can shoot. That helped that they got Alex Burks, Bojan, guys who came in midseason for them and made a huge difference. I think, if I'm not mistaken, those two guys accounted for 40% of their made three-pointers, but that's literally part of the problem. So if I'm the Detroit Pistons, as much as, yes, they need a lot of things that go for upside, I know that they have some pieces already. If you're trying to take advantage of Jaden Ivey, if you're trying to take advantage of Cade Cunningham, you got to get some guys. You got to get some spacing. You got Jalen Durham. I think they have enough pieces to where it's not quite like the Charlotte Hornets or even the Spurs where they just could get anybody. I think if you are strategic about your approach, you can help build on the talent you already have. They don't have to throw a shot at the dartboard randomly. I think that would be a good pick for them.
Yeah, I definitely could see that for sure. Because they definitely need spacing. That's something that they definitely need. So anybody that they bring in that can shoot the basketball, I think will be good for them. Because those guys, even though they can make shots, that's not their forte. That's not their strong suit. So anybody that can help that spacing, if you talk about Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey, I think will be beneficial for them because they don't really have that right now.
Yep. In terms of, can they win the game? I think they had a talent, man. I mean, before the Monty Williams year, people looked at that team as a team that could be frisky, could make some noise. They had some talented pieces. So I just don't view them in the same regard as I do some of these other rebuilding teams, even though, they did get screwed this draft for sure. No question about it. So with the number six pick, I've got the Charlotte Hornets selecting Matthias Buzelis.
Yeah, Matthias Buzelis.
It was crazy as I practiced this, man. I was hearing you say them. I think I thought about them in my head so much that I overthought it, and I ended up messing it up anyway.
You good?
But I think, like I said, where the Hornets are more of in a place where they just are looking for upside. I completely agree with your assessment on the player. He's very young. I think he does have a ceiling. I think if he hits, man, I think he could do well with this team. If it ain't well, they just need to lose with upside. So he's got that in spades, I think. Well, relative to the draft, he's got that in spades. I think he's got that. I would like him in another draft too, to be honest. I think he's got a lot of the traits that you will be looking for, even if he is raw. I think that probably be
I was gonna say, you look at that size. But again, I think he could end up being 7 foot before it's all said and done. You just talk about a 7 foot wing. That's just enticing. The 7 foot wing that can shoot, that's really, really enticing. He's an all around guy that can do a little bit of everything.
And then Brandon Miller, that's nice.
Yeah, if that works out, but that could be nasty in the future.
Yep, ball. I think, like I said, if it hits, I think it helps take them to the next level or get over a hump. They traded away a lot of their talent, man. They traded away Terry Rozier, traded away PJ Washington. I mean, they traded dudes away, man. They're trying to get younger, obviously, at the spot, and that's the good way to start. All right, so Portland Trail Blazers. I too had him go on Dominic Lingan. I know they're interested in a big man, despite the fact that their roster does not allow for it. And because that roster is so congested, like the Hawks, it was hard for me to go with I think this team should go in this direction. I think, really, if the Portland Trail Blazers were to try to I think they would need to make moves in advance of the draft for me to have some clarity about who they want to be identity wise. Because I think that's just be the probably if I had to boil down the two teams where I couldn't identify a clear direction, is because I feel like the roster has an identity crisis and they don't really know who they want to be as a team. So I mean, really pick a direction, pick your poison when you're looking at it like that. And if that's the case, Donovan Clingan is, I think he's like the best center in the draft. If you're trying to get somebody to replace Time Lord, sure. But if I'm the Trailblazers, also maybe they're just sick of going with upside because they just got this weird vet thing, young thing going.
Are they same thing with, like you said, with the Hawks. Like, they just have a lot of pieces that you don't know what they don't really fit together. Like, what are you doing? Like, there's no direction with it. So I agree with you. They could pretty much just draft anybody because it's, I don't think anything's selling with them at all.
No, they need to pick a direction and then build around that. This would probably be them doing that. I mean, I'm thinking if they're drafting Donovan Clingan, because I do think highly of him as a prospect, I'm thinking they're trying to win now, but I don't know how you do that with Scoot, unless he takes a big jump. But anyway, man, they gotta get that together. All right. I'll move on. That is what it is. With the number 8 pick, I don't know if the Spurs are picking twice in the lottery. Like you feel as strongly that the Grizzlies move around. I think I agree with you on there. I'd also say the Spurs are, it surprised me if they, you know, stuck at both their picks and picked. But I got them going with Rob Dillingham. I think they could use some dynamic athleticism. I know the size thing probably is not an upgrade from Trey Jones at all, but I think they could just use some flair, some style. And I know he's not a jump shooter, but I think you got Reed for that. But they just need another element to them. And I sort of just like them there. I'm not banging a table on it. If you're the Spurs, do what you're going to do. But I think it could potentially work out for both sides if they were to make that pick.
No, I'm a big-time Rob Dillingham fan. He is a shooter. Like, he's one of the better shooters in the draft. Like, he shot 40% from three. Like, he reminds me a lot of No. He really shoots the basketball. He reminds me a lot of Tyrese Maxey. He is kind of who he reminds me of. He's a little bit smaller than Tyrese Maxey, but he's a dead-eye shooter. He can really shoot the basketball. He's a scorer overall. Like, one thing that you have no question about Rob Dillingham, he's going to get buckets in the league. Defensively, it's going to be a question. And I like that pick for the Spurs, and I thought about it. The reason why, I just don't know if they're going to take two guards.
Yeah.
Like you had them taking, I think, Reed Shepherd, and they're two smaller guards. That's kind of – and I had them taking Castle, even though Castle's bigger point guard. I don't know if they just take two guys kind of in that – point guard, shooting guard, bowl, but it does make a lot of sense. For me, I actually think Dillingham would make a lot of sense for them at 4. I don't think they do it, but I think that because I think that would add something completely different. He just doesn't strike me as a pop guy. For me, for them, I think it makes a lot of sense. I just don't know if Pop takes that guy because he's just a guy that likes to go out there and get his shots up. Pop, that's just not the kind of guy that he usually likes on his roster. But I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you add that scoring and then shooting along with Wimby, man, I think you really have something. But that's kind of what shot me away from them. But I don't disagree with you at all. It makes a lot of sense on paper, for sure.
Yeah, but ultimately, like I said, I'm not pounding the table on it either way because I think I agree with you. I don't think they necessarily take two guards. I think they do something. I don't think they stick and pick twice. So, that's part of my logic. But I think both of those players, either or, are good for them. And again, I'm thinking in terms of if I'm them now. I think they could move off some of the guard. Like you said, what the Grizzlies?
Obviously, you got the Grizzlies coming up. I'm interested.
I do. Khalil Ware for me. Khalil Ware.
Yeah.
Where that's where I went. I can't quite get down the guard. I definitely hear everybody's points about valuable guards and the opportunities for that. I can't quite get down with it, man. There's too big of a hole that's there, and some people would say that's a bit of a reach. I don't know if people have him drafted that high pretty often, but in this draft I think you just got to go with someone. I mean, I people are gonna hate me. I'd rather have Ware than Edie.
Man, and what a 100%. Like there ain't even no question.
Yeah, I mean I'd rather reach I'm on Ware. I think he's less bustable. Like if I can yeah. say a phrase. So I take that situation all day. E probably is one of the things that would scare me. I'm not gonna say I would be angry. I would be terrified more than anything else. I think yeah. about how that can fit, because I do think it's a big deal that they get that. If they're gonna go front, they gotta look ahead. Man, it's too many questions there on that side of the roster construction. So that's what I would do. But I'm with you. I would prefer that if Klingon fell to the sixth range, kind of like I think you're about right, because that's kind of how I got my – that's how I have my draft pretty much falling as well. You try to go up and get Klingon. Now, I don't know what that's going to take, so I don't know if you just want to give up a ton of assets or what that value looks like. It's sort of a toss-up in that regard. But if they can make that happen, that would be my top choice, because I don't think that he's going to fall. I can't think of any draft scenario where he would fall away to nine, Donovan Klingon. That would surprise me immensely, but
yeah, I was about to say, yeah, man, I don't think he makes it to nine, but I don't believe those rumors with him going top two, top three. But on your pick with Ware, I have mocked him to the Grizzlies at nine. I mean, sometimes, even though he's not projected to go to nine, sometimes that's your guy. Go ahead and yeah. take it if you right. believe in him. If you can't find a deal to move down that you think makes sense, man, just go ahead and take your guy. And I'm a big fan of his, man. 7'1", 230. 7'5" wingspan, just one of the most productive players in college basketball. Man, just all the way around, man. 16 points, 10 boards, 2 assists, 2 blocks, shot 43% from 3. So showing the propensity to step out and hit 3, and was consistent. Like a lot of these guys, you look at their numbers and they were up and down. He was consistent pretty much every night. Like he double-double machine. And you kind of look at a guy that I think a lot of people kind of compare him to, even though I think he has much higher upside, and he's been really good. Derek Lively with Dallas last year, and Khalil Ware had much better production than college. Khalil Ware, I mean, Lively only averaged about 4 or 5 points in college last year. And Dallas kind of, he wasn't projected to go that high. And Dallas had a good workout with him, man. And they kind of, what we said, believed in their guy, jumped up and took him. And I think Khalil Ware overall has more skills, definitely a better offensive player than Derek Lively. So I think he would fit in. I mean, you're looking for a guy that can, a big that can run the floor with Ja, that can then can play up tempo, can also do things in the paint. The versatility he brings, I'm a big fan of his. I would be extremely happy if the Grizzlies came away with Khalil Ware.
Yeah, I'm thinking, man, find a modern big if you're gonna pick at this spot, if you're gonna get a rookie, find a modern big that can help you now, right now, but also, you know, if you did have to move on from Jaren, could help you in the future. And then finally, got, you know, throw a dart on the board somewhere. Not the Utah draft has gone with Ron Holland. Literally just a shot on the board. I mean, I like Holland as a prospect. I think they just need people. I suppose, I don't know, man. I like your pick better. I really like your pick better. It makes more sense for the team. But that's sort of what I put down, because the Jazz can really do whatever they want to do at this point.
Yeah,
have it be fine.
As far as Ron Holland is concerned, like the. Don't get it twisted. He's definitely inside my top 10. He's, for me, and I know we talk about the Grizzlies need a front court player. Outside of Klingon, he's number 2 on my board for the Grizzlies. Like, I think he, outside of Alexander Sarr, I think ceiling-wise, he probably has the highest ceiling in this draft. Like, the fact that he's slipping, like, people are saying him and Dillingham could slip out of the top 10 is crazy to me. Like, I think you're talking about Zachary Richardson, number 1. I would rather take Ron Holland. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take a wing at number 1, I'm a big, much bigger believer in him. I mean, his ceiling is off the charts. I think the question with him and his shooting, wasn't a great shooter again, that D-League Ignite, bad spacing, kind of take that with a grain of salt, basically a glorified all-star team and just a bunch of guys trying to get their numbers because they're all trying to get to the league. I think that's kind of why they shut it down. I don't think there's a lot of development there. But Ron Holland is crazy, man, that he could drop out of his top 10. So if that ain't not at all. If he, no matter what you need, if he's sitting on the board at 10, I'm taking it. Okay, because I mean that's just upside is too good, too high to pass up at that point. So I don't have any problem with that pick at all. Because again, I think he should be a top 4 or 5 pick in his draft. So getting him at 10, I don't care what team you are, what you need, it makes a sense for anybody, in my opinion.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, man. I know we went long this episode. Lots to go over. Thought it'd be good though if we just did some predictions going into the draft, seeing what we think could happen. I think both of us agree that there'll ultimately be more movement than what we're able to sort of, you know, plot out on our projected charts, on our projected boards here. But anyway, man, super excited about Wednesday night. Anything else you want to hit on before we get us out of here?
No, man, I'm just excited. I think it's going to be extremely active. I think having the second round on a different day is going to make it even more active. I think you're going to see a whole lot of trades. I think at the end of that first round, you have teams scrambling, trying to make moves to get back into that first round. Got to kind of have the lottery, so I think you're going to have a lot of that. I think the Grizzlies, again, I would be surprised if they stuck at 9 and picked the guy. I think they're going to move up, down, or move for a veteran. I think there's going to be some kind of deal made with the Grizzlies. I think they're going to be super aggressive. So I'm excited about it. A couple days out, like you said, I will be hosting a NBA draft space tomorrow night around 9:20 p.m. Central Standard Time. So be on the lookout for that. So that's coming up. We're going to be talking more, breaking down these prospects. So that's going to be exciting. That should be fun, man. Looking forward to talking to you guys and getting your opinions as well. So tap in with us there. And Candace, man, go ahead and close us out.
All right. Well, Isaac, why don't you tell people? Well, you tell the people where they can find you, then I close this out.
Yeah, you can find me on the Twitter/X app at Isaac_NBA. You can go over to @EthosGrizzlies, give us a like and a follow. We definitely appreciate that. And again, man, thanks everybody for tuning in. And Candace, let you know where you can find her.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at CandaceH901. Be sure to follow the show at Ethos Grizzlies. We'll have some post-draft coverage coming up. So just going to analyze what happened on that night. I got a feeling it'll be a lot to talk about for sure. So be tuned out for that. Be sure to check out Isaac and his space. Hop on there, chat with him, chop it up. In the meantime, that's all we got for today. We gone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.